Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
The word will be in Hebrews chapter 3. We're going through the book of Hebrews verse by verse, and we'll be in chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. And so let's begin. I'm in the New King James Version. Notice the author of these scriptures, by the way, is in the very first part. Of verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, capital H, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, that's the 40 years in the wilderness, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. Now here's the key verse of this section of Scripture, right here in verse 12. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is that every one of us that are in this room today, Lord, a Skype room, wherever we are, that God, that we have hearts of belief, that God, that we aren't looking for ways to run from you, but looking for ways to run to you. Lord, that all of us have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And Lord, that if for some reason we don't, and maybe we've deceived ourselves, Lord, that you would reveal it in our heart. That Lord, that we can make a decision of salvation for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as your Holy Spirit convicts us and woos us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some texts in the Bible are evangelical. Some are more for doctrine. Some texts are more for application or how to apply the doctrine. But where we are right here in Hebrews at the beginning of this letter, and it's not by accident, it was authored by the Holy Spirit, is we are in an evangelical text. We've come out of chapter 1 where the credentials of Jesus Christ have been exposed. Chapter 2, He is so great, and He is so great, we need to apply that to our lives. We need to take what we've learned about Him in chapter 1, and we need to apply it in chapter 2. And then we get to chapter 3, and now He's speaking to the saved, and He's speaking to the lost. In other words, in that group, there would have been some Jews that maybe had crossed over with some friends or whatever and are following the way, and maybe they're not so certain about what they believe. Or maybe there's some other Jews that are friends that have not given their heart to Jesus, but yet they're trying to pull these others astray and lead them back into Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, look, we need to make sure that you've covered your bases, because if you don't have Jesus Christ, then everything else that you're going to see in this letter to the Hebrews is going to be in vain. You've got to understand that Jesus is God, that He is Savior, and that He wants to change your life for the better. Not just for here today, but He wants to change you for all eternity so that you can live with Him in glory. And so this is like the John 3:16 of Hebrews right here. And so he's dealing with belief and unbelief. And so we get into our study here, and the first thing I want you to see on your outline is this: unbelief exists where conviction produced by the Spirit and Word of God is ignored or rejected. Conviction produced by the Spirit and Word of God is ignored or rejected. By the way, did you know three times in chapter 3, you'll see one is by implication and two of them is a direct quote of where he says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion." You'll see it again two times in chapter 4. And so the writer is saying that you harden your own heart. Now think about that. He's saying, do not harden your hearts as they did in a rebellion. Now think about the rebellion. You can go to Exodus 17 or Numbers 14 or Psalms chapter 95, 7 through 11, and you can read about that rebellion. And in that rebellion, I mean, God is working all kinds of signs. Think about it. Israel has been delivered out of Egypt. They come out of Egypt and they get to the Red Sea. And then they look back and they say, "What have you done, Moses? I mean, look, they're going to overtake us. We'd been better off if we were still in Egypt." And Moses raises that staff in his hand and he says, "Behold and see the salvation of the Lord." And God parts that sea. And all of Israel go through that sea, but Pharaoh and his armies, when they get into the sea, they are all drowned. The Lord allows the sea to come back on them. They get into the wilderness, and it's not long that they begin to complain in the wilderness. "We don't have anything to eat." I mean, good grief. You'd think after all 10 of those plagues they saw in Egypt, and after seeing a sea part, can you imagine seeing a sea part? I'd love that to happen at Lake Tyler one time when the transom shaft fell out of my boat motor. I was out in the middle of the lake. I didn't even have a paddle. Had a little, y'all ever heard of a boat motor called a Neptune? I think they made boat motors and they made exhaust vents for bathrooms. And the motor was about this big. It's probably from the 40s or 50s. And it had a shaft that went down to the propeller. And I get out in the middle of Lake Tyler and I hear everything get real smooth and loud on the motor. And I go back there and all I've got is a motor. The rest of it's all down at the bottom of the lake. I had to chunk the anchor and pull myself for a long ways until I finally made it. That's another story for another day. And so the Spirit speaks to our hearts. And so if we are hardening our heart, then we are either ignoring or rejecting the voice of God. You say, "Well, how does God speak? I want to know how he speaks." Well, he speaks in a lot of ways. He speaks to the inner conviction. That's number one, how he speaks to our hearts. Inner conviction in our heart. God comes in our heart and he convicts us of sin. You may be in a church service or somewhere, or hearing something on the radio or hearing a song on the radio, and the Holy Spirit convicts you that you need to give your heart to Jesus, but you reject that. And you dismiss it with something else. "Well, Lord, I'm a good person. God knows that I'm good in my heart and I'm a pretty good guy. He wouldn't do anything like send me to hell or anything like that. How could he be a loving God and do something like that to me?" We'll say something like that. But we forget that we have sinned. And the Bible says that if we are guilty in one, we're guilty of them all. Listen, that's why you need to accept Jesus. Because Jesus left heaven. Think about this. We can't save ourselves. The Bible says he looked throughout men to find somebody that could stand in the gap. That picture there in the scripture is through all generations, God knowing everything. And he looks at every single person that's ever been born, and there's not a single person that can stand in the gap and atone for sin. Not one. Nobody can. And Jesus leaves heaven, and he comes in all of his glory, and he's made flesh at the incarnation, and he dwells among us, and for 33 years, he lives the perfect life, pleasing to God, that you and I couldn't live, because he is God, man. 100% man, 100% God. And so Jesus comes and he dies for our sin. He takes the power of it, the penalty of it, and he dies for our sins and he pays it all. And then he goes back to heaven and he goes to heaven and then he sends back his Spirit at Pentecost. And ever since Pentecost, he's got pardons in his hand to be given to anybody that would receive Jesus Christ. You say, well, I've heard that story. But you know, there's got to be something more to it that I can do. There's got to be something that I can do. And what are we doing? We harden our heart. That word for harden is like callousness. It's like somebody that works a lot with their hands and they get these calluses and you can't feel. The callus is so thick you can't really feel in those areas. That's what happens to our heart. Our heart gets so calloused that it's hard to feel. But praise God, we have a God that loves us enough that can break through the callousness of a heart. And Jesus Christ can do that. And so we don't want to ignore him. The second thing is this. Unbelief exists where the heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Where the heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, God speaks to us in an inner conviction. God speaks to us through creation. We look at creation, the stars, the moon, the sun, and all of the grass, the trees, and you can't help but to know that there has to be a creator that brought all this stuff to pass. God speaks through his creation. You see a baby born or an egg hatch. You know, I told Madeline the other day that we had some eggs been in the refrigerator so long, they probably got little chicks in there if we open the lid. But to see an egg hatch, to see all of these things happen, we know there has to be a God. And then when we hear the Word of God, listen, the Bible, and we'll get into that in chapter 4, but the Bible talks about how the Word is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. When you're in the Word of God and you're hearing the Word of God, something is happening. And you know what is happening? It's Jesus Christ, because he loves you and he is speaking in your heart and he's saying, this is testifying of me. This is telling you about me. This is telling you how to get right with me. And that's because God loves you and he wants you to hear his voice through the Word of God. We saw that in chapter 1 of Hebrews. And so we harden our heart through the deceitfulness of sin. We ignore all of those things due to sin. Now, something you need to know about sin is this. Sin deceives. Sin lies to you. Sin will tell you lies, and sin will convince you it's telling you the truth. Because, listen, the propensity to sin that is in our old nature leans towards justifying sin. Did you know that? It leans to justify it. So we try to find ways to excuse sin, to justify sin. But what sin does in our heart is it is a liar, and it is telling us that we are really okay. It happened with Adam and Eve. Remember when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before they ate of the tree of good and evil? They're out there in the garden. I mean, every time you say, how did they worship the Lord? Every time they passed that tree and they just walked right on by, they were giving glory to the Lord. Every time they had passed it up, you know why? Because belief is what kept them walking. Belief that God would stay true to his word. Belief that God would hold them accountable if they ever ate from that tree. But then sin showed up. Sin is a liar. The slanderer, Satan, the devil, the serpent, that great dragon, he showed up at the tree. And so one day they're walking by the tree. Well, Eve messed up David. I mean, messed up Adam. And I'm just messing with you, Teresa. I couldn't pass that one up. Eve is what messed up people. Okay, and then the men are saying amen. And then Adam comes along and sin begins to lie to Adam. And before you know it, Adam is eating of the tree. And you know what? Instantly, God's word came to pass. They died spiritually right then. They begin to die physically at that moment. You say, how can that happen? Well, wrinkles begin to show up. Joints begin to hurt. There was shame. All of these different things. Why? Because they quit believing at that moment that God's word would hold true, and they begin to believe the liar, which was Satan, and they began to fall for the sin. And then sin entered into the world. But praise God, we have a Savior that came into the world so that we could have Jesus Christ as our new federal head. Our first Adam sinned. Our second Adam redeems. See the difference? The second Adam come into the world that we could be born under him. So the heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Instead, this is what we are to do. Seek God's view of sin. Seek God's view of sin. Don't run from the Bible, but to the Bible. Look at chapter 3, and let's look at what happened in verse 7 to 11. Chapter 3, 7 to 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. Did you notice what he says? Today, if you will hear his voice. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Yesterday is already gone. Do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion or as in the rebellion. I mean, they wanted food to eat. God brought them manna. God brought them quail. God had Moses strike a rock and he brought them water. He did all kinds of things to provide for them, but they still rebelled. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath. Now, here's the verse I want to lean on right here, verse 11. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, we know that the rest that they didn't enter was the land of Canaan. We know that. Now, two of them did. Y'all remember who those two were? Joshua and Caleb. They got to enter in because of their belief, but not everybody else. Because of unbelief, they couldn't. And God allowed them for 40 years to die in that wilderness because of unbelief. Now, here it's being applied. The rest is being applied to heaven. Throughout the scriptures, we know that Canaan is a picture of heaven and eternity with God. Can you believe it? Go back and read in Exodus 17 or read in Numbers 14. It's frustrating because they get literally to the border. I mean, literally, they're right there at the border. And Joshua and Caleb are saying, we can take it. We can do this. Their protection has departed. They're right there. There are millions and millions of people today that are right at the border of receiving Jesus Christ. They're right there. They can see the promised land. But unbelief keeps them from crossing over and receiving Jesus Christ into their heart for salvation. In fact, that word for unbelief is really more disbelief. Disbelief. It's a little bit stronger than just the word unbelief. Disbelief is, I refuse to believe based on what I think. It's got to be based on what I think. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but leads therein to death, the Bible says. You see, belief is saying, you know what? God, I can't figure it all out. But Jesus, I believe your testimony. I believe that you died for my sins, that you were born on this earth, that you died for my sins and you rose again. I believe that you have changed millions of people. You've come into their heart. I've seen their life be demonstrated by a change. And Lord Jesus, I'm not going to argue any longer with your testimony. Lord, I will accept your testimony and I'll receive you into my heart and I'll turn my life completely over to you. And when you do that, listen, you're accepting God's view of sin. And you're not running from the Bible, but to the Bible. And then by faith, you're accepting, that's B on your outline, by faith, accept his remedy to sin's power and penalty. You know, we say all the time that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. We owed a debt that we could not pay. And so we're accepting by faith his remedy over what we think or what somebody else might tell us. We're saying, I'm going to accept the view that God has in the Word of God. Now, I want to go ahead and move on to the last point because I want to get in a couple of things here. to be saved and enter heaven when you die, watch this, faith must appropriate the provision. Faith must appropriate the provision. Grace provides, faith possesses. Think about that. Grace provides, that's Godward. That's what Jesus did. But faith possesses. You say, well, how does that apply to me as a Christian? As a Christian, it means that I'm going to walk, not in disbelief to the Word of God, but I'm going to walk and live my life in belief to the Word of God. I'm going to believe the Word of God so much that it's going to affect my decisions today. I'm going to believe the Word of God so much that how I do things, how I pray, I'm going to discern through the promises and the Word of God. I'm going to trust that the Holy Spirit is leading me according to His Word in the direction I should go, and I believe it so much that you will see my heart follow what I believe. In other words, I'm not going to be disconnected from my belief, even though the old nature is warring and trying everything it can to keep you from following the Lord. You say, listen, God, I want to follow you so closely that my life demonstrates that newness that lives within me. That's what we do as a Christian. In other words, we choose to believe. We wake up in the morning and we say, I choose to believe the Word of God today. I choose to serve the Lord today. I choose to follow Him regardless of what my mind tells me, regardless of what my feelings tell me, regardless of what my heart tells me. I'm going to follow God today by choice because I believe Him and I have received Him and He is in my heart to direct me and to guide me. Does that make sense? That's the kind of Lord that we serve. Faith must appropriate the provision. Grace provides, but faith possesses. Now, Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Think about it like this. Grace provides, faith possesses. Now, faith makes experimental what grace made potential to every believer. Think about that. Grace provides, faith possesses, faith makes experimental what grace made potential to every believer. Now, heaven is that place of rest. But that's why Paul could say to die is gain, to live is Christ. Paul says to die is gain because there's a place of rest. There's a place that I'm going where I'll have total rest from the burdens of this world. One of these days we're going to have, as Christians, total rest from all the burdens of this world, all the stresses of this world, all the COVIDs, all the sicknesses, all that stuff. We're going to have total rest from it. Are y'all ready for that? Amen. Well, if a ticket's being taken today, I think I'm going to wait just a little bit. No, I'm ready whenever the Lord calls. I'm ready for the Lord. Now, here's the key. It's what you do with your heart. Again, he said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He says it again in chapter 3. He says it again in chapter 4. And then he ends chapter 3 in verse 19. And he says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, when I was thinking about this message and not being able to enter in because of unbelief, it reminded me of something that has helped me so many times in witnessing and in other things, and I've shared it with y'all. It's not anything new that you hadn't heard, but I witnessed it with my own eyes. Teresa and I did, and it was powerful. I had a friend that I had worked with when I worked in Amarillo and Dalhart and a little bit in Kansas, that he was one of our material handlers. He was an older gentleman, and he didn't know the Lord. He used the Lord's name in vain every other breath. He had a really hard heart. And I got saved. And after I got saved, my life changed. And I wanted to go and tell him about Jesus. I heard that he had cancer. And it was a very aggressive type of cancer. And I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, so Teresa and I prayed. And we went to Amarillo, and we stayed in the Super 8 Motel. And the next day, I'd already called Jack and told him I was going to be coming by. And after we made small talk and everything for a little while, I began to share with Jack how the Lord had changed my life and came into my heart. And he did it by what he did. All I had to do is believe it and accept it and receive it. And his heart was so hard, he didn't want to hear it. And I mean, he was pushing it away. You could see the spiritual warfare. He absolutely did not want to hear anything about Jesus. And I left there and I was crushed in my spirit. Not long after that, he passed away. But when Teresa and I left his house, I looked at Teresa and I said, all these weeks we've been praying for this man. I can't understand why God didn't answer that prayer. And we left and I said, you know, before we head back to Tyler, let's stop at a friend of mine's house. He was a welder on our projects and I just want to go by and see him. He's an elderly man, but he was really a good welder, real good welder. And I knew in my heart that he probably was lost too, but for some reason, it was escaping me to witness to him. And so we get to the house, and it's kind of in a crazy part of town, and I went and knocked on the door. Nobody answered the door, went back to the car, and I told Teresa, let's just sit here for a few more minutes just in case he drives up. Well, a couple of minutes later, you remember those Good Time vans? One of those kind of vans pulls in and parks on the curb, and I know it's almost time to end, and I'm almost done. And he parks on the curb. And he's still sitting there. And I see Oklahoma license plate tags on the back of it. And I thought it was odd. And after a few minutes, he gets out of the van and he walks back to the car. And he introduces himself. And I told him that I was a friend of David. And we were just waiting on them to get home, hoping they'd come home. And his next, after we made small talk of who we are, you know what his next comment was? He doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know if I'm a Christian or not. He has no clue. And his next words were this. This all happened in probably a minute or so. I mean, it's really quick as things are happening. And he says, I was just sitting in my van wondering what eternity is all about. Let me tell you, I was sitting in my minivan ready to explain what eternity was all about. So I grab my Bible and jump out of the car, and we sat down on the curb, and I begin to share what eternity is all about from the Scriptures. Well, about that time, I see David pull in. That's the guy that lived there. His name is David. And David pulls in, and everybody starts getting out. This man's kids, his wife, everybody's getting out of this car. Turns out that this guy, Daryl, that was in the van, was the son-in-law of the man that we were waiting on to get home. And I knew that God had us there supernaturally. And At that time, I couldn't think about one thing. It's like Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. The word of God was rising up in me like a fire. I was ready to share the gospel. I didn't want to make small talk about welding rods or anything. And so we get in the house, and I can feel the fire just a burning in my heart. Share the gospel, share the gospel, share the gospel. Okay, Lord, wait a minute. Let's get in the house. And we get in the house, and I said, David, I pulled him to the side, and I said, David, the Lord has me here for a reason. God has changed my life since you saw me last. I'm no longer an alcoholic cussing like a sailor. I said, I am born again now, and I'm saved, and he's changed my life. And I want to share the gospel and how he changed me with everybody that's in this house. He was a real laid back guy. He said, okay, well, let me get everybody gathered up. So he gets everybody gathered up. We all go in the living room. And I shared the simplicity of the gospel with everybody in there. Everybody got saved. Everybody. Including the son-in-law. The son-in-law, we kept up with him for a couple of years. The son-in-law told me, he said, Bruce, when we went back to Oklahoma, we went back in a way we had never been before. We went back saved as Christians. And he said, we got back, and I found all the pornographic material he was addicted to pornography. He said, I found all of that, and I had a bunch of cassette tapes that had demonic music on it and things of that nature. We went out in the backyard, and we burned every bit of it. He said, God has changed my whole family. We are all changed because of that gospel in Jesus Christ. I share that to say, we will do one or two things with the gospel. We will run to it, or we will run from it. There's no middle ground.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.